I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, and you're listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business. My guest today is Holly Tucker. Holly is a Texas country recording artist based in Waco. We talk about making music in Central Texas, her primary influences, and why Nashville can wait. But first, it's the Small Business Spotlight, presented by American Bank. Jake McGee is typing up a storm in his home production studio. At the keyboard, he cuts an imposing figure. Tight black shirt, buzzed head, arms the size of ammunition rounds. During 4 years of active Air Force duty and another four in reserves, Jake served as a developmental test engineer, working on communication systems for aircrafts like A-10s, F-15s, and F-16s.
You ever seen the movie Lone Survivor and the big issue they had with communications and line of sight? That was our problem that we were trying to solve. So we actually got to work on that problem in theater as well.
In Qatar, Afghanistan, and Bahrain, Jake made sure that their comm system synced up with the other branches of the military. Ideally, our armed forces enjoy clear, streamlined communication at all times. But the fog of war can wreck even the most solid strategy.
We have military standards that we're supposed to follow, but a lot of times, you know, when there's, you know, pressing need and somebody needs something in theater right now to help and to win the fight, some of those rules get ignored. So we come in and try to fix that stuff.
The buzzword during Jake's Air Force tenure was interoperability. Each branch speaks its own specific language, and Jake was tasked with making sure that they all work together, turning jumbled noise into a cohesive message. That skill set equipped him well in his post-service calling, owning and operating a commercial videography company called His Grace Productions.
You speak a certain language, your clients may speak a different language, and it's being that mediator and how can I best get in here and create the best kind of communication platform for your specific market or your audience.
We all have those moments. We have those memories. They're life-changing. They're pivotal. To me, it's really about a life well lived.
Although Jake's technical talent speaks for itself, he said his company name, which alludes to his Christian faith, either really excites clients or turns them off completely. He doesn't just work with Christian brands. That commercial snippet you just heard was from an ad for Balcones Whiskey Distillery. But he likes being open about his faith in God so that his customers understand his motivations.
I want this business to bear like that excellence. And so if I submit everything to him, whoever our client is going to get the absolute best that they possibly can get from us, because it's all going to be from that perspective.
The tactic has worked. Jake has produced commercials for some of Waco's oldest and most recognizable institutions, like Bird, Colt, and Ford, which opened up in 1936, Chick-fil-A, and the Waco Hippodrome. For each company, Jake builds a communication strategy, just like he did back in the Air Force. He likes to highlight the brand's history to create a point of reference with local customers.
What was their first date, you know, at Bush's Chicken? What did that look like back in, you know, when they were here at, you know, Baylor back in the 80s or who knows when? And, you know, bringing people into a story versus just, hey, we're going to just throw a lot more information at you and hopefully it hits.
Although transition to civilian life brought its own learning curve, Jake said that he's happy to be back in the States with years of useful training under his belt.
You know, the Air Force definitely taught me some of that tenacity, that grit, that ability to push forward when others won't or can't anymore. And I feel like entrepreneurs have to have that in order to, you know, make it through the failures, because that's a big thing.
The Small Business Spotlight is presented by American Bank, with three locations in town, including an expanded branch at Franklin and Fourth. Before my interview with Holly Tucker, here's an acoustic version of her current chart topper, Country Music Won't Let Me.
Every time I leave you in the past, just when my mind quits looking back, I hear a hurting song that takes me back where we went wrong. It's like every word and melody was written just for you and me. I'd give anything if I could just move on. But country music won't let me. It's way too real. It hits me heavy right when I'm letting go. It keeps me holding on. That lonely crying steel guitar re-breaks the broken in my heart. Thought I'd be over you already, but country music won't let me. It follows me everywhere I go. In the bar, in the car.
I'm now joined in studio by Holly Tucker. Holly is a Texas country recording artist based in Waco. Welcome to Downtown Depot.
Thank you for having me.
What is your Waco history?
So this is my hometown. I grew up here. I was born here, born at Hillcrest Hospital. And I've never left, and I love it.
What kept you here for so long?
Well, a lot of it was that after, you know, high school and stuff, I knew that I wanted to go to Baylor. And I've always wanted to go there. I've grown up with the sports. I've grown up with the culture around Waco of supporting our Bears. And so I knew that at least through college I would be here. And plus my mom works at Baylor, so I get tuition remission. So definitely wanted to have that degree under my belt. And I don't know, just growing up here and having all the experiences that I've had, I mean, Waco is just home. It just feels like home, and it always will. So I don't know if I'll ever leave.
Do you think that you'd be making country music if you hadn't grown up in Texas?
That's a good question. I don't know. It's hard to say that because, like, if I had grown up in New York or something like that, country music isn't as prevalent in New York. But my family history goes really deep with country music. Both my grandparents and great-grandparents on both sides of my family were musical, and specifically in country music. So I'm sure it would have made its way to me somehow.
But. So tell me a little bit more about that family history and what your earliest times with music were.
Yeah, so my parents were both singers, and they actually met through music. My dad had a band called Revised Edition back in the day. It was a Christian band, and he needed a keyboard player and a background vocalist, so he found my mom. And they traveled the country for like 6 years, and then they settled down and had a family. But when they had a family, they never stopped making music. They always were singing in some church or some wedding or special event, and I would get to watch my parents on stage from a like very, very young girl. And so watching them up on stage made me want to do it. So when I was 7 years old, I got on stage for the first time here at my home church in First Baptist Woodway. I sang a little song with my dad in the senior adult choir called I Am a Promise. And ever since then, I was hooked. So
were there butterflies that first time, or did you just really know I'm meant to do this?
I'm sure there were butterflies. I'm sure there were. I don't really remember like the performance itself, but I do remember the feeling of, wow, that was really cool. I love this, and I want to keep doing this. So that Christmas of that year, I got a karaoke machine for a present, and I would just spend hours in my room, hours just singing all my favorite songs and just seeing how much I could get better and enjoy it. And it just kept moving up for me. So I don't know. I never stopped doing it.
Was there an age or an event at which in your mind music stopped becoming just a little hobby, something fun you did with your family, and it became a profession?
I would probably say whenever I made my first record. I was 14 years old, and I made it here with Dick Gimble. He's actually a MCC professor, and his dad is the famous Johnny Gimble, famous fiddle player. So getting to work with him was just incredible, especially at such a young age. And I got to produce that album and start, you know, doing gigs and start traveling and making actual paychecks. And I mean, I was about 14 years old, so I would say that time.
Have there been any people in the music community or venues in Central Texas that have been particularly kind to you on your journey?
Absolutely. One of the earliest venues that was really supportive of me was Rosati's Pizza in Hewitt. I would go there, I don't know, I probably sang there like 8 or 10 times, and it was just a little 3-hour deal. I would go and I would sing for all the customers, and it was just really fun. Places like that, gosh, there were a lot of places around Waco. I'm trying to think. I know the Richland Mall had me out there one time, and that was fun. I don't know. There's just several places around Waco. I'd have to think on that.
It's sort of like when you just won your Grammy and you have to thank all the people in your life. And there's a lot of people that are easy to forget, but were very helpful along the way.
Waco as a whole, just really, I mean, I always had opportunities growing up. And Texas especially, like in every small town in Texas, there is an Opry, a country show where they have a house band and they find singers from all over the state, old and young, and they come on the show and they sing. And so as a little girl, I could go and audition for shows like that and get the practice that I needed in front of an audience and with a band, a live band. And so, I mean, Texas as a whole and Waco as a whole were just, I mean, real foundational for me.
How would you assess the music scene in Central Texas and Waco specifically, and where do you see it going?
The scene in Waco going? That's a really interesting question, because Waco, I think, in itself is a really big melting pot of all different kinds of cultures and people, and, you know, a lot of people from Austin and Dallas come right here in the middle, and both really great places for music. And so when you bring them here together, you get pop and jazz and rock and country and Texas country and Christian. And there's literally, I could probably name 5 people that I know in each one of those genres that are right here in Waco. So, who knows where it could go? It could go, nationwide. You never know. I mean, it's just the possibilities are endless.
The song that you played for us, Country Music Won't Let Me, has been rocketing up the charts. I saw that you were on the Texas Country playlist on Spotify.
Yeah.
Great way to wake up in the morning and you had, oh, here's 50,000 streams all of a sudden.
Right.
How did that song come about?
So Country Music Won't Let Me was written with Mr. Logan Tucker and Buddy Owens. And they're some of my friends in Nashville. And we just sat down one day and we were going to write a song. We were talking about a lot of times when you sit down with songwriters, you'll just start talking about your life or what's going on at the time just to catch up. And sometimes that leads you to a song. And so this particular day, we started talking about country music and like what the state of it was and what it meant to each one of us growing up. And we talked about it also in relation to love and heartbreak. And, you know, when you're with somebody and then, you know, they kind of trample all over your heart and you break up or whatever, and you go through that period of trying to move on and you finally think, okay, I'm over this person. I'm ready to move on. I'm there. Like life is good again. You can hear that one country song, and it's country music. I don't know why, but it's country music. You can hear that one country song come on the radio or wherever, and it can just break your heart all over again. It takes you right back to that moment whenever you felt those feelings of just being devastated, and you're not so moved on as you think you were. And so that's what this song came from.
I feel like more than almost any other genre, country, and specifically Texas country, is such a vibe.
Yeah.
It's a mood. Like, I can't exit Waco and be driving on one of these back roads and not turn on Willie's Roadhouse.
Right.
And I'm just listening to Buck Owens and Hank Williams and putting me in that mood. I feel like I'm in the same shoes, listening to the same songs as these classic guys. And
yep.
It seems like your music really has faithfully, even though it's contemporary, really faithfully channels the Patsy Cline's and the women of that generation.
Thank you. Yeah, that's what I aim to do. I mean, because you can turn on country, air quotes, radio nowadays, and it really doesn't sound that country. It's more pop and, contemporary, like you said.
Well, but, we see that with the Old Town Road, Lil Nas X, rapper who sort of made a country song.
Don't even get me started. That makes me so angry. But yes, you can turn on country radio now, and it's really not all that country anymore. And it makes me sad. It makes my heart sad, because that's what I grew up on, is the real country sounds of the steel guitar and the fiddle and just the true country beats. And so that's what I always want to keep in my music. Not so far that it's way back in the dark ages, but I want to always provide a new and fresh perspective on country music itself, what I grew up on. So you'll never see me take the country out of my music.
For you, what's the golden age of country?
90s. 90s country.
This is like Brooks and Dunn and Tim McGraw.
Yep. Old Tim, though. Not new Tim. and I like listening to what's on the radio today. I really do. Like, I'll go in and I'll find a lot of songs that I really just enjoy. But it's just not country. So I don't think it should be called country music. That's just my opinion. I mean, I would say, yeah, Tim McGraw. And especially the ladies of the 90s, like Faith Hill and Martina McBride and Jody Messina. And
Leanne Rimes,
yes,
Shania.
Yes. Like, those are the ladies I grew up listening to that gave me such a passion for country music. Where is that? Like, where did that go?
Do you think Kacey Musgraves has taken that title, or is she sort of in that, she's kind of gotten into this, like, I don't know, poppy, sort of trippy, you know, rolling around with Willie Nelson and those types. And maybe she's not even like as country as you're saying.
Right. She calls it psychedelic country, which is extremely strange to me. But I will say, and like I was saying earlier, like, I like her music. I do. I, even though I don't necessarily agree with like some of that, you know, I enjoy listening to it. And Golden Hour was an incredible album. Won a Grammy or whatever that was. And I mean, anytime I need a good example of an album to go to where every song is different, it offers a new perspective and it's something fresh to listen to, I'll go to Kacey Musgraves. But no, I don't really think that she's an example of pure country anymore. She used to be with some of her other songs, like Merry-Go-Round and some of the ones off her older albums, but now she's, you know, all artists are having to go that direction of keeping up with the times and what's fresh right now. So
your goal of maintaining a truly authentic country feel with your music, is that one reason why you haven't already migrated to Nashville or moved down to Austin permanently?
Yeah, I would say so. You know, I am afraid that moving to Nashville, like, because if you look at any new female that comes up on the scene, pretty much they're molded into pop country. And I'm trying not to say that with like a bad, you know.
It doesn't have necessarily a negative connotation. It's just different from what you're trying to make.
Right. And so I'm afraid that if I go there, they're going to try to mold me into that. And that's not happening. So, and I know that here in Texas, I can be exactly who I want to be. I can be country. I can find an audience here. And I know that there is an audience there that still wants that. So I just have to prove to Nashville, this is what works. This is what people still want to hear. And y'all just keep turning out the same stuff over and over and over again. And it's like, try something different. Maybe that's why females aren't so successful right now, is because you're all trying to make them do the same thing. Nobody wants to listen to that. Like, let them be themselves. And it's just, yeah, I'm very passionate about it.
You had mentioned to me that you were working on starting a Kickstarter to help defray some of these production costs of your new record, You're Gonna Know My Name. What's different about making an album and getting your songs on the radio or streaming services today that it would have been for, say, your dad and mom when they were trying to make music?
Well, back in their day, they didn't have social media. That's the biggest thing. They didn't have social media and they didn't have streaming, not in the same way that it was today. So that's why record labels were so big back in their day in the 90s and all of that, is because they had complete control of radio and they had complete control of what was being fed to the listeners, because all listeners had to listen to music was either buy a CD or turn on your radio and request the songs that you want to hear. Now, if I want to hear a song, I can go on Spotify and hear exactly what I want to hear right now. And so that's a insanely great thing for independent artists, because we don't necessarily need a record label. Like, we can do it on our own. We can find our own fan base, and we can, you know, we can make it on our own without any of having to give away our music or sign our lives over to a contract just for the sake of getting, you know, famous or whatever. But it's also, I believe, it's also hurt independent artists because everybody's trying to do it. Everybody wants to be a musician and wants to be out there touring. And so it waters everything down. And the consumers, the fans, have so much to choose from that they don't really get to pick, you know, one or two or three of their favorite artists, because they can always go and see anybody that they want for cheaper or for more convenience, or they can just, you know, turn on exactly what they want at the moment on their Spotify. So it's good and bad. I think that is the major thing that's changed.
Could you explain in a 30,000 foot view the business of what you do? Like, how does an independent artist like you, how does someone make money and make a living?
You tell me, because I'm still trying to figure it out. No, actually, it's a lot of fun. But
because going back to maybe what your parents went through, if this were the 90s, a label might come to you and say, hey, Holly, we love what you're doing. Here's a $50,000 check, and we're going to produce your album, and we're going to pay you a little bit to go touring.
Yep.
It doesn't totally work like that anymore.
No, not at all. I'm going to try to keep this as short as possible. So on a day-to-day basis, for an independent artist like me, the business side of things, basically I am my record label. I have to do everything that they would do for me. I have to book my own shows. I have to do my own promoting for radio and to my fans. I have to do my own social media. I have to put my own music on distribution sites so that it can get out to you on Spotify. I mean, there's just so many aspects of it. Record labels now, instead of giving you a check and saying, hey, we're going to produce your record, this is how much it's going to cost, and we'll give you a little bit of money for touring. Instead of doing that, now, because there's so many of them, they no longer do that. They no longer just give you money, give you a stipend, and say, hey, we're going to record your record. Or if they do, they make you sign your life away on a contract saying that they own everything that you produce, and you don't actually make any money until you recoup the money that they spent on you, which is just ridiculous. No independent artist can do that nowadays. So it's just crazy. I mean, it's so much different than it used to be. Yeah, it's a lot.
I'm in the studio with Holly Tucker. You can find her music on Instagram at Holly T Music. You have a new record that's going to be coming out in August.
I do. I'm really excited about it. Yeah. It's coming out, and it's the first project that I've gotten to do in 2 years. And yeah, so now I'm finally releasing some new music. I'm a part of writing every single song on this record, which is another new thing for me. I've co-written stuff in the past, but I've never had a whole album where it's only my co-writes. So I feel a lot more attached to it. And these songs, man, they're the best ones I've ever gotten to write in my life. And it's because I've gotten to be with I keep getting to meet more and more incredible songwriters and learn from them and learn what it really takes to make a great song and to make somebody feel something with what you're trying to say. It's not just about writing down your feelings. Like, it's doing it in a way that, with particular word choices and rhyme schemes and phrasing, how you can really just hit somebody right in the heart. And so that's kind of one big thing that I've learned with these new songs, and I'm really excited to share with people how I've grown and how I want to keep growing. So
I have a couple cousins, one of whom is a pianist and the other is a guitarist, who spend every year at the Kerrville Folk Festival, and
yeah,
they go to the writers meetups, and they also go out to West Texas to another writers retreat. How do you grow as a songwriter?
You know, I feel like I grow most as a songwriter whenever I'm able to actually just do it. Practice, practice, practice. That's what they say about any skill, is you, it takes 10 years to master any skill. And I mean, I think that me just getting in the room with as many people as possible, as many different songwriters as possible, I feel like I get better every time. And it's just because I'm learning. I'm constantly learning, like, how to choose my words and how to put together a melody that is particularly interesting. And
so are you going to writers' retreats, or is this at festivals, or like at concerts in between sets you're talking to the other musicians?
Well, sometimes. I mean, it can happen all different sorts of ways, but I typically go to Nashville about every 2 or 3 months, and I will go for like a week or a week and a half. And over the last 6 years since I was on The Voice, I've just made these relationships with other songwriters along the way, just meeting people and saying, hey, can we write together? And so every time I go to Nashville now, I schedule appointments with people, and I just go in and I try to write anywhere from like 8 to 10 songs. Not all of them are good. Some of them are great. You know, it depends on the time and the situation. But that's kind of how I usually grow the most, is when I go and I do it all at once and I just completely submerge myself in the songwriting aspect.
And that's hard for you to do because you have so many other obligations.
That, and it's expensive. Traveling to Nashville for a week and a half, you've got to think about your plane costs, your road costs if you're driving, and then your meals all week. And then usually I'm able to find somebody to stay with, so I don't have to worry about hotel. But even just those things alone, I mean, it's $1,000 every time I go.
Well, you see this in history, you know, like Da Vinci had a patron who would be paying for him to literally just sit in a room and create things. And that's when he comes up with the Vitruvian Man and flying contraptions. But traditionally, the artist wasn't someone who is responsible for figuring out how they're going to eat or where they're going to sleep. They were responsible for creating art.
Right.
And we really have had a transition in our society from that.
Yeah. You have to be everything to everyone at all times. And you have to be able to do it all. A lot of times, me as a creative personality, like, and not really a business-minded personality, I feel very overwhelmed by that. And Shane, my brother and tour manager, who isn't here with us today, but he travels with me all the time, and we're just best friends as well. And he knows, like, he's more of the business-minded person, so that's why we work so well together. But he understands that, like, my creative mind can only take so much, and especially so much of the business side. It's just, I don't feel like I'm good at it. I don't feel like I'm, you know, competent in that area all the time. And so not being able to create all the time, you know, it's a luxury to be able to do that, to create when I get to create. And so I try to just cherish it. And I try to be the best I can be in those moments.
What Martina McBride was for you growing up, what a Leanne Rimes was growing up, you are now that person for young kids in Texas and specifically in Waco. What does that responsibility, that opportunity mean for you?
That means everything. That's exactly why one of my biggest motivations is of why I do this. Like, I know how powerful those influences were for me growing up and listening to all those power females in the 90s. And it kind of breaks my heart to think that there's not as many females on radio today as there were back then. And I want to be that for those young people. I want that little 7-year-old girl in her room singing in her hairbrush. I want her to have me come up on her Spotify and just rock out to songs and to feel like, hey, one day maybe I can do this because she's doing it and she's loving it and she's being herself and she's being true to who she is and who she grew up as. And, you know, I cherish that. Like, I want to be that so bad for young girls out there. And so that's an honor for me.
Holly Tucker is a Texas country recording artist based in Waco. Thank you so much for stopping by Downtown Depot.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thanks again to Holly Tucker, Jake McGee of His Grace Productions, American Bank, and you for tuning in. I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, and you've been listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business.